The Olympics, a proving ground for Milwaukee Bucks stars.
But there's nothing like being selected to the Olympic team.
Representing your country and showing the world what you can do.
Championship of that level, gold medal, means more because of what you went through to get it.
Inspiring millions in the pursuit of gold and glory. Where losing isn't an option and winning is all that matters.
This moment will be something that I'll always be able to cherish.
I'm Lisa Byington, and you're listening to Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. This is episode 4, All or Nothing.
Destiny, like it's here, like there's nothing that's going to stop us from achieving what we've come to achieve. And that's not being cocky. It's just, we're here. The old saying is, you don't win the silver, you lose the gold. That's what our mindset was.
After surviving a thriller in the semifinals against Lithuania in the 2000 Sydney Olympics, Vin Baker and Team USA entered the gold medal match with a renewed focus.
Going into the game for me, and I think I can safely say this for all of my teammates, throughout the whole tournament was you've got to do what you've got to do to win this game, whether that's score, rebound, dive on the floor, make the extra pass. And when you get a collective group of talented players with that mindset, you've got a good chance of winning, and that's exactly what we did.
And without missing a shot from the field, Baker was third on the team in scoring and helped lead Team USA to a victory in the gold medal matchup against France.
I felt great. Once you get the opportunity to do what you do, and there's not a lot of opportunities to do what you do. But the great part about it is you get these opportunities because there's so many great players around you. But I think the wonderful part about being in the Olympics and being with those guys that we talked about before that you usually don't have a relationship with, you look over on the side and Alonzo Mourning and Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett are screaming and cheering for you. There's an extra boost. Like, you're like, wow, this is what this is all about. Like, all the rivalries and competitive stuff that we do in the league, in the NBA, it's out. And so you just get an extra boost of adrenaline. And the cool thing is, as you mentioned, or you were alluding to, you get to, like, now 11 points is like 30 in the Olympics because, you know, those points are spread out because we have so much talent. You don't think about the points. You just basically think about what you're doing and how important these points are. Like, those baskets are so, they're like maybe the most important baskets you've ever made before.
For Milwaukee Bucks star Michael Redd, playing for gold on 2008's Redeem Team came with a unique type of pressure after Team USA finished with a bronze in the 2004 Olympics.
I think there was a sense of responsibility more than pressure. To say pressure wasn't involved, of course, there's pressure involved in the situation, but more than anything, we felt a sense of responsibility and duty to represent our country well, not just on the court, but also off the court. And so that was something that was really hearkened upon us amongst ourselves and obviously our coaches and our president, Jerry Colangelo.
Charles Gardner, a longtime Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, knew the expectations of the country were on the team.
Yeah, there was an incredible amount of pressure. You know, they had to win almost. That was something that it was pride for the U.S. and it was, hey, we cannot have another debacle as happened in Athens.
Vin Baker understood that the Redeem Team had no choice but to win.
The pressure had to be enormous. I mean, we felt the pressure to perform and win it in 2000, and it wasn't a Redeem Team. You know, the team hadn't lost prior to us. We just had to continue to carry the baton. But there was pressure in 2000. So in 08, I can imagine the intense pressure that the players were under. There was a ton of pressure knowing that they could lose. potentially lose going into those games, for sure.
The gold medal game was the most challenging game for us.
Michael Redd.
I kind of had our way against Spain in the preliminary rounds, but we knew they would come back, obviously, in a more challenging way, and they did, and made the game really compelling. It was a massive, 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 massive win for us because it got tight at the end. And for those who can recall that game, but it's an incredible play from Dwayne Wade and Kobe, obviously, at the end of that game stands out to me the most. And we had to pull it out, and that horn sounds, it's a surreal feeling to have won. And for those who have not won an NBA championship, this was the next best thing to experience.
After his native Australia was eliminated by Bucks teammate Michael Redd and Team USA in the 2008 Olympics, Andrew Bogut acknowledged the reality of the games for teams that could not prevail.
Yeah, just like I said, there's really only one team that feels good about leaving any tournament. And that's, you do win a silver, you do win a bronze, and there's a little bit of a consolation prize. But for me, I think the mentality always is, you're playing for first, right? Like, and you want to be disappointed if you don't win first.
8 years later, while playing with the Golden State Warriors, Bogut returned to the Olympics in 2016 with a more formidable team, including newly signed Milwaukee Buck Matthew Dellavedova.
For both of us, for Dellavedova and I, as far as competing, nothing really changes. We both compete with the team that we're with at the time. So we hated each other in the finals, and then we loved each other in the Olympics. It's as simple as that, and you have to have that mentality. Thankfully, we got one championship. They got the next one, so there wasn't too much bragging rights for either side. But then, I love playing with Deli because he's going to leave it all out there. He's one of the true warriors of the game that he'll play himself to exhaustion, very high basketball IQ. People might say he's not the most talented, not the most skillful guy, but he makes up for that heavily in basketball IQ and work ethic. So we always had a really good relationship, played well together, and he was, it was just interesting to see, we both go to the finals and then have to play with each other on the national team.
One thing that helped the two boomers bond was Bogut's ability to help Deli familiarize himself with Milwaukee.
Yeah, Deli and I spoke about, him signing in Milwaukee. He got some advice about where to live. He lived pretty close to downtown at the time. I believe he ended up buying a house out there. But yeah, just try to help him as much as I could, taught him some good restaurants. At that point, I hadn't been there for 5 or 6 years, so the city really changed a lot at that point from when I left in 2011. So, but yeah, just try to help him there. I had a few friends or some people I could connect him to for some things that he liked to do.
In a bronze medal match against Spain, with a chance to medal for the first time in Australian history, the Boomers lost a close game, 89-88.
Yeah, it didn't finish well, that's for sure. Look, we were in a position to win that game. We were playing really well for the most part, and we, unfortunately, the way sport works, there was some dubious calls towards the end of that game with 50 seconds left that cost us some points. And you look back and you scratch your head about how it happens and you'd be disappointed, but that's just the reality. We probably should have had a bigger lead going into that fourth quarter or late in that fourth quarter. But that would have been, the thing for the Australian national team was we had never medaled in a Olympic Games. We'd finished fourth, I think, in 2000, finished fourth in, 96 or 92. So it was always a stigma about they just can't get that third or second or first. And it happened again. We end up bombing out. And I think the disappointment of us, we were playing so well going into the top four, and we almost beat the US, and there was a lot of good momentum, and then we just laid an absolute egg against Serbia in the semi-final. They just destroyed us. The game was over at halftime. We couldn't score. And then we were probably still, in the thinking about that last game going into the bronze medal game, whereas Spain adapted really well and took over that game at the right time.
More on Behind the Bucks coming up after this.
Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. Trust is the foundation of any successful partnership, especially when it comes to managing risk and planning your future. That's why businesses turn to Gallagher. With over 95 years of experience, Gallagher has the expertise to help businesses navigate complex challenges and seize new opportunities. As a proud partner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Gallagher is dedicated to building confidence together. To learn more, visit AJG.com. Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and H&R Benefits consultant.
The following Olympics in Tokyo in 2021 proved a delight for Milwaukee Bucks fans in particular.
It's been a 50-year journey. Wisconsin, we've got a room at the top of the world tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions.
Fresh off of winning an NBA championship, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday would be representing the Bucks on Team USA. But first, they had to get to Tokyo. Eric Name, senior writer for The Athletic, explains just how tight the timeline was.
I honestly still can't totally comprehend how they did it. You look at what the timeline was. The Bucks win the NBA championship on Tuesday, July 20th. The parade is on Thursday, July 22nd. You know, you have a championship to celebrate. You have some champagne to drink. You have some, you know, celebrations to enjoy. You've earned it. That is a crowning life achievement. So that's what you're looking at on Thursday, July 22nd. On Friday, July 23rd, because we are still in the pandemic and we're still trying to figure some things out and, you know, how to travel and do all these different things. Chris and Drew are on a private flight with Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. That is a 12-hour flight to Tokyo. Those three just competed at the highest level against each other. Chris and Drew denied Devin Booker of an NBA championship. That's the farthest Devin Booker's ever gotten in the postseason. And all of the players, to their credit, all of them have downplayed the awkwardness. The NBA is very much a brotherhood, and you know, I'm sure they could get through it. I'm also sure that on a 12-hour flight, you probably did quite a bit of sleeping. So maybe you weren't, you know, right next to each other. But man, I just can't imagine, like, the idea that I need to be 12 hours on a flight. No matter how nice that private jet is, that is a confined area to be in with someone that just beat me for a championship, or on the other side, someone that I just beat for a championship. And now we have to think about the fact that we need to be on the same team because we land and then we play on Sunday, July 25th. So yeah. From the 20th is when you win the championship. Bucks win game 6 here in Milwaukee. July 25th is their first game. USA versus France in Tokyo. Like, that's a staggering 5 days. No matter how hard you did or did not party in between that, that's just a lot. And you could see it kind of in the way that Greg Popovich played them. Like, those guys all saw limited minutes in the first game, and you know, their roles changed kind of throughout. But that is an insane 5 days. It is just really difficult to kind of comprehend how you go through those levels of emotions as those three guys sharing a plane to Tokyo to get ready for the 2021 Olympics.
Speaking at Media Day a few months later, Drew shared his experience adjusting from winning the championship to suiting up for Team USA.
It was crazy. It happened in a short amount of time. But I think being able, just after parade, the next day us leaving, and then the next day we played.
Yeah, that's
how it is. Yeah, yeah. Playing again is just, honestly, it's like we never stopped. So I feel like we were pretty comfortable just going out there playing, because literally 3 days ago we were playing the game. But to experience it together, man, was cool. To be able to run the ring together and then Olympic medal, to go like across country and play against so many great countries and great teams, great players, and meet them, just be able to have that that conversation, whatever, basketball-wise, was really cool. But to do it with him, somebody I'm close to, somebody that we just won with, it couldn't have been better.
And Chris gave his side of the story in a sit-down interview with Bucks legend Marcus Johnson.
It was a long run last year. Everything was worth it. You know, going straight to the Olympics right after the season, that was a little tough, but I made it through. Drew made it through also. So right now, you know, I feel great.
Why'd you do that? Most players, after all that, the championships were in, the finals were in July. Parade was a Thursday, and you were on a flight, what, on a Saturday or so?
I think it was Friday or Saturday.
Why?
Man, it's just, you know, one of those opportunities you just can't pass up on, to be an Olympian, to represent your country. When you add all those things up, you know, may not ever get a chance to do something like that again. You know, I'm in, you know, a perfect position to play, so why not?
The championship pedigree of both players was essential to Team USA's gold medal aspirations.
Yeah, I mean, I think because both of them had just come off the finals, Greg Popovich, who was the head coach for Team USA, had taken it kind of easy on them. Like, he had kind of, you know, made sure, like, all right, I'm not going to use these guys too much in this first game. I think Chris plays like 5 minutes in the first game. And then after that, he's got a pretty regular role. He's in the top nine of the rotation. He plays, you know, like 15, 20 minutes each night. Drew Holiday, I think, plays like 25 minutes in that first game and came off the bench doing so. And then after that, Drew Holiday, I mean, if you talk to some of the people that were around that team, I remember the next year I had written a story about how Drew Holiday is the best defender in the league. He does stuff that no one else can do. I remember talking to Steve Kerr that year and him just kind of telling us, he just told me, he's like, one, Drew, like, won us the Olympics. Like, his ability to play the high-level defense that we needed, to bring the pressure that we needed. And if you look at Drew's scoring average, it's not insane. But what he did was, whoever the best player on the other team was, Drew Holiday was covering him. You look at, I think in game one, that game that they lose to France. Again, Team USA loses their first game in 2021. They lose to France. I believe Evan Fournier took 22 shots. I think he has something like 26, 29 points, somewhere in there. He has a big game. And then you look at what it looks like in the championship game, because Team USA meets France in the championship game for the gold medal, and it's Drew Holiday hounding Evan Fournier up and down the floor. It's Evan Fournier only getting off 15 shots. It's seeing his, you know, points come down under 20 points. Like, it's all of these things that, again, if you just look at the box score, you're probably going to look at other players on the team and say, oh, those must have been the guys that carried us. But there is this kind of belief from the coaching staff that was there that, like, Drew Holiday is what won us the 2021 gold medal, because he brought the level up defensively. He could be physical with, you know, bigger and stronger wings, or I shouldn't say stronger wings, but taller wings, and he could be as fast as he needed to be to cover the point guards that are around there. Like, he just did everything that they needed to do, all of the little things.
The combination of an NBA championship and Olympic gold medal in the same summer made it one to remember for Bucks fans.
I don't know how you ever top it. Like, we talk about, you know, or we already talked about, you know, how tight the timeline was. I think by the end of it, you know, you're looking at accomplishing all of this in a month. Like, the greatest possible achievement you can get from a team success standpoint in the NBA, and then the greatest possible achievement you can get from a team perspective in international basketball, an Olympic gold medal, you accomplished in less than a month. That's there's nothing that compares. These aren't things that you can really imagine. So it's an absurd thing to do. And, you know, I just remember back looking at all of the photos. I think Kevin Durant threw one on Instagram of, like, you know, these are the champs, right? Like, these are the guys that did both of them. And, you know, it's him and Chris and Drew. Like, I don't know. It was just really cool to kind of see everyone, like, in that moment appreciate what they're going through, because it's not something that is easy to accomplish, and very few people have ever been able to do it.
For former Bucks, Vin Baker, and Michael Redd, the feeling of standing on the Olympic podium and receiving the gold medal is unlike any other.
It was the most amazing moment for me as on the court. I had never won a championship before, not since high school. To now be, you know, standing on the podium, maybe winning the, you know, if you ask some, the second or first most important thing in basketball other than the world championship, it's a gold medal. So just that peace, knowing that I've done this, A, for my country, I've done it for my family, I've represented the organization, and this moment will be something that I'll always be able to cherish, is winning a gold medal, because not everyone can say that they went to the Olympics and won a gold medal.
It was surreal. Surreal moment in our lives to actually not only go to the Olympics, but actually win a gold medal was the zenith, the pinnacle of our athletic careers. And to represent our country, it couldn't have been a better feeling. And I think more than anything, it was the 3 years that led to that moment. There's something to be said about process. I know we live in a microwave culture society now, but I think championship of that level, gold medal, means more because of what you went through to get it. And so we certainly have a story that undergirds that championship. And I think that's what we all felt that moment, that it took all these years to get to this moment and we finally did it.
I'm Lisa Byington, and thank you for listening to Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher on the Bucks Plus Audio Network.
This has been a Bucks Plus audio production.